Early on in my placement for field education when I was divinity school, I met with my committee and I received some feedback about my preaching. And they said my messages were good, but they had an observation, and that was that my sermons seemed more like a paper than preaching. I thought of that as I was working on today's message because I have here a paper I wrote in divinity school. I am not going to read it to you, but it is going to form the heart of our few moments together here. Unlike most Sundays where I offer an exposition of Scripture, today we're going to talk about communion, what we do and why we do it, and how we got from the time of Jesus to the present. And hopefully some of your questions may be answered, and maybe some will be left open. But I don't know how much the average person in the pews, or indeed the average minister or preacher, thinks about communion, or the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, and how we got to our present state of play. I say that thinking of a conversation I had with one of my mentors, Jim Crawford, who was the senior minister at Old South Church in Boston. And Jim really was a great churchman. He knew liturgy. He knew Scripture. He really loved Sunday morning worship. And he was always honest with me. And that was particularly clear when I asked him, while I was taking a course on liturgics, why we did communion the way we did it at Old South. And at that church, communion was distributed to people in the pews, the bread and then the cup, and then people consumed the elements. And Jim looked at me rather thoughtfully, and then he said, "I don't know. We did communion this way when I was growing up." Now, how many things in our lives do we do that way? Because that's the tradition we encountered, and that's the tradition that's been passed on. And there's no critique of that. Tradition can be something that just snares us. But the fact is that Jesus and the disciples did not share communion by sitting in rows of chairs and having people bring them the meal. Nor did they celebrate it by having people come forward to share the elements by intinction. These are methods and modes of doing the Eucharist that have evolved over the ages. We know that the Eucharist was one of the earliest things Christians did. Paul talked about it in a letter to the Corinthians, just 20 years after Jesus was resurrected. And if you know anything about Jesus' letter to the Corinthians, you know that people got together to share a meal as a community. And it all sounds great. But then we read that they weren't that really good at what they were doing. That people were fighting about how it should be served, and people were claiming that if they made more money, they got a better seat, and some people were getting drunk. So people have been making a mess of communion since the very beginning. Now, over the centuries, things evolved, or perhaps we should say they devolved, because originally, when Christians got together, it was in people's homes to share a meal and to remember what Jesus had done with the disciples. And even if people made a big deal about some people being at the table before others, the truth was everybody was supposed to be equal. There were no qualifications for people to come and eat. But then, of course, the church began to introduce qualifications, and they began to set things apart for people. So after a while, it was priests, people like me, who got to administer the elements. And there was the bread, and then there was the cup. And it became something that was celebrated much more rarely than it had been in the beginning. Now, some of you may come from the Catholic Church, and you may be able to tell me whether I'm right or wrong about some of my recollections from what I learned in divinity school. But there is a part in the service that some people miss when the bell was rung. And do you know why that bell was rung? The service was done in Latin. So the people of the church could not understand what was going on. And that bell had to be rung to let them know, you need to pay attention now. And that was done when the host was lifted up for people to see. And if they got lucky, once a year, they actually got to taste a piece of bread. And they did not share in the cup. And then the Reformation occurred. And yes, I'm simplifying things here. But there was a ferment of thought and debate, and changes began to take place in the service. We are children of the Reformation here in this church. We're part of the Reformed Church tradition, the Free Church tradition. And 500 years ago, our forebears began to look at the service, and they began to ask, does this make sense? Now, one of the things the reformers decided was that if it was not in the Bible, it shouldn't be done. Whereas the Catholic Church, and ultimately the Episcopalians, and to some degree the Lutherans, said if it's not forbidden by the Bible, it's okay to do. One of the biggest changes that took place was that Protestants looked at the seven sacraments and said five of them had no warrant in Scripture. Marriage, not a sacrament. Confirmation, not a sacrament. And on down the list. But two were indeed to be found in Scripture. And the sacraments of baptism and the Eucharist are celebrated by all Christians. Baptism, of course, is done once. And it's often done when we're little and we don't remember anything of it unless we're in certain traditions that believe in adult baptism. But still, it's done once. But communion is a different matter. In some churches, communion is celebrated every single day. In others, every week. In churches like ours, once a month. But the ritual took on more importance. Now, in the Congregational Church, of course, we have an unofficial sacrament, and that is preaching. And if you look at the way the church is designed, the pulpit is a focus of attention. And we believe proclaiming the word is so important that we actually have two structures up here, a pulpit and a lectern. The altar on which communion had been celebrated and was often the central feature in sanctuaries, became that shelf. And another change was that the altar became a table. Now, you know that there are different ways of thinking about communion. There's transubstantiation and consubstantiation, there's memorialization, and then there's celebration. In our church, we do not profess that anything miraculous or magical happens to the elements. You're going to come forward in a little while, and you're going to get a piece of bread, and you'll get to choose whether it has gluten or not, and you'll get some juice. And that's it. It doesn't become Jesus in any way, shape, or form. And we do not remember his sacrifice. What we're trying to do is to celebrate God's grace and his love for us. Now, I spent some time in the Episcopal Church before I went into ministry in the UCC. And it was interesting for me because I had always had communion served to me in the pews. And deacons brought forward the elements, and we shared them sometimes. Other times we just ate them by ourselves. And then I went into the Episcopal Church, and all of a sudden we were coming forward. Now, I know there are some people who like communion in the pews. And they think it's a time to meditate. And I respect that. But I have to tell you, there are other people who find that way of doing communion is, for lack of a better term, a buzzkill. As they sit in their pew and they wait for the service to move on. So what we try to do here is communion by intention, and then when we go into the parish hall, we'll do communion by distribution. In some ways, we've blended things here. Because in an Episcopal church, you'll often kneel before the altar. And if you have a chance to think about it, you'll see yourself kneeling before God, and that's a good thing. But in reality, you're kneeling before a priest. And that's not good. Because people who wear special clothes on Sunday are no more important than anybody else. So we come to the table and we will share the elements. And perhaps this has answered some questions. Maybe it sparked some new ones. Maybe you just want me to get on with the service. But this is serious business, and it's also joyful business. And we should never take any of the rites of the church for granted. Unfortunately, we do. One last observation. We practice an open table here at First Congregational Church. Everybody can come forward, whether you're baptized or not. You don't care about your status, what race you are, what political party you belong to, whether you're straight or gay or something else. It's not our table. It's Jesus' table. And Jesus did not have any qualifications or requirements for people to come forward. So I hope everybody feels welcome here. And if you don't, please let me know. So in a moment, we'll share communion together, and I hope that you will reflect on God's grace, God's power, and God's love.